Welcome to the Ocean Hills Podcast. Our hope is that today's message would help you connect more deeply with God and with others. If you would like more information on what is happening in the Ocean Hills community, check out our website at oceanhills.org or download the Ocean Hills app. If you are encouraged by our ministry and would like to partner with us financially, you can give through your mobile device by texting Ocean Hills to 77977. We hope you enjoy this message.
If you're a college student here today, I want to just acknowledge that you make a difference in the life of this church. Your energy, your passion in worship, it lifts the rest of us old folks like me. It lifts us up. I am so energized by the number of college students that are engaged and involved in the life of this church. And I'm going to invite Pastor Cozy and Delaney to come up and a couple of college students that we're honoring today. But Westmont College, I know this is your last week. And for you Westmont College students, thank you, thank you, thank you for being part of this God family.
Hi, I'm Cozy, and this is Kepler. Kepler has been with us for almost your entire college career, and Kepler has interned with us throughout college and has made such a big difference in the lives of our kids, and we have just been so honored and blessed to have so much commitment and time from you, and we're going to miss you terribly. We're still praying that you stay. And we've asked these students to share with us a little bit about how they have been impacted by their time here in our God family. So I'm gonna let you share first.
Yeah, so for those who don't know me, I'm Kepler. And there's really two things I want to say. The first is thank you. It has been such an honor to serve here at Ocean Hills, to serve all of you guys. And I took Scott's ministry internship class, and I thought I was going to be placed at Young Life. And then he connected me with Cozy, and the rest has been history. I didn't really have a choice. but it has been so wonderful, and I'm convinced the Lord put me here so that I could recognize how wonderful and important it is to participate in church. In high school, I didn't really participate. I went to church, and I loved church, but I wasn't really a part of what our church was doing. And so it has been so wonderful to be a part of what Ocean Hills is doing. And you guys are doing amazing things, let me tell you. But, yeah, in my participating, I've gotten to race to roll up rugs and push black boxes everywhere and write curriculum and get destroyed in baseball by third graders. And it has been wonderful, and over my time, I've gotten to know staff and volunteers and kids that have made this place a family for me, and the Lord's really changed my perspective on church from a place for God to a people of God. And so thank you for being the people of God in Santa Barbara. Thank you for being part of my God family here in college. It has been wonderful. And so, God family, let me tell you the biggest way I've grown. Being a part of Ocean Hills, it was wild to me when I was reflecting, has actually been in my understanding of the gospel. And I thought I came into church knowing, into college, knowing what the gospel was. And then I've spent 4 years with an amazing team hearing the gospel story told over and over and over again in an intentional way that makes it accessible to seven-year-olds. And that experience is life-changing. And there's two reasons. One, in O Kids, we take the gospel seriously and simply. It has been so wonderful to learn new language for communicating about God. And in doing so, I've gotten to learn so much more about how God's story is not just this individual stories, but this overarching story from Genesis to Revelation about God's redeeming work in his people and how we're a part of his people and how it transforms our relationships with God and with others and with ourselves and with creation. And that language all comes from O Kids. And so the way I understand the gospel has completely changed through that. And it's completely changed through the way I've gotten to see the gospel embodied in the people of God at Ocean Hills. And that's in the intentionality of Joy and Max as I sat and listened to them talk about how they want to talk about the resurrection of our Lord and Easter to our kids. It's in the creativity of Cozy, who knows we're embodied people and who got the coolest tabernacle so that our kids can worship with their bodies. It's in the smile that Jono gives me every single time I see him and he greets me by name. It's in the way that the kids, when we're all together worshiping and asking them questions, know the random names of the kings of the Old Testament. It's in the way I get to see you guys all love each other and love Santa Barbara, and I'm so grateful to be a part of this God family. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Kepler. That was so encouraging and so awesome. Today, I get to introduce Miles. Give it up for Miles. Miles interned for me for 2 semesters, and something you need to know about Miles is one of the few people I have seen live out 1 Thessalonians 2:8 just by the way he breathes. Paul says, "We loved you so much, we not only shared the good news, but our own lives too." I've seen Miles live this out by taking students to his favorite place, Taco Bell, introducing many of our students to it. I've seen Miles cheering students on at their basketball games. And I would say Miles is probably one of the favorite youth leaders, not just because he's so fun, but because he is Jesus' hands and feet. When he greets our students, when he encourages our leaders, Miles lives out the gospel so faithfully. So let's hear from him.
Thanks. Hey, you guys. I've been Delaney's youth intern for 2 semesters, but known her longer, and been a youth leader for all 4 years. I actually started being a youth leader the very first week of Westmont. I was in the DC. I was a freshman, and some older youth leader came in and said, "Hey, does anybody want to come to youth group tonight?" And I said, "Oh, I'm not doing anything." Okay. And so here I am. I've gone every youth group since, or most, I guess. And while I started there, what has been so impactful is the way that God's demonstrated his love and faithfulness to me through yourselves and your kids at youth group and the leaders at youth group. Just as John was saying, that the college kids are such like life-bringing encouragement to some of the old people who are past college now, I feel that way at youth group. I'm like, oh my gosh, God loves me so much. And I see these kids, I'm like, oh my gosh, God loves you guys so much. And the way that I've seen them in the 4 years, if you have an eighth grader, that probably means I was one of their youth leaders when they were in fifth grade. So I've seen them go from dumb Fortnite jokes to less dumb Minecraft jokes now in eighth grade. And that's been so cool. But also I've seen the ways that they've just matured. And I just smile when I think about how God's hand has been with them and holding them in this tough and challenging and weird time of middle school. And he's going to continue to do that. And so that's just been such an encouragement for me. The other encouragement for me, I think, has been coming here on Sundays. While I've always been at youth group for my time at Westmont, this wasn't always my Sunday church until the middle of my sophomore year. My New Testament professor, after church hopping, that's a big thing at Westmont, they know. Church hopping, figuring out your freshman year, where you want to invest and where you want to be. After doing that for a while, my New Testament professor gave us this picture of the church in the New Testament as a family. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's a no-brainer. Where do I have relationships? Where have I built relationships? Where does it feel like I have family? It was you guys. It was Ocean Hills. The way you guys encourage involvement and make involvement accessible and make relationships accessible has been such a demonstration of God's love for me here, being away from home. And I thank you, and I'm sure many of the college students here are so thankful that they can know people in Santa Barbara and be loved by people in Santa Barbara. So that's just been awesome. The last thing that I've just been so encouraged by in my time at Westmont has been the leadership here, especially Delaney Balza. She's 26, but somehow she is like, everything she does, every choice she makes, she's like, I think I would never do it that way. But then it works out so tremendously. I'm like, well, of course that was the way to do it. She's so wise. And the way she handles everything is just so mature and faithful. The way she loves your kids and you guys is so faithful. The way she loves God is so inspiring. And that's been true for the volunteers at Youth Group, the volunteers here on Sunday and throughout the week and the staff. And thank you guys. It's just been so cool. And I'm just so thankful that God's put me here and allowed me to share my time in college with you guys. Thanks.
Well, that was such an encouragement to me. Thank you both for the time that you took to prepare that. That was really, really sweet. Thank you. I hope that is an encouragement to all of you as well of participation actually does have impact. These students have been such a blessing to us, and it sounds like we have been a blessing to you as well, so that makes my heart very happy. We have our Westmont students who are leaving us next week. Some of them are graduating or going home for the summer, so we just want to take a moment to pray over those of you who are graduating and those of you who are going home for the summer. But so I'm going to take a moment to do that. Will you pray with us? Good God, when you envisioned the beauty of our God family in this last season many, many years ago, you knew that college students were going to be such an important part of your story here at Ocean Hills. And I can see how, even in my own life and Delaney's life, college and college participating in the church and being in the church has been such an impactful impactful experience. And God, it's because it brings you joy to see this family, this multi-generational family, do life together, do ministry together. And we are so grateful that you have brought these college students to us, that you have entrusted them in this season of their lives to us. And we are so grateful. And as we wave goodbye to them for maybe a season or maybe for the foreseeable future, we ask that you would continue to bless them. Would you show them the steps in front of them that you would have them take? Would you give them peace when they are in the right place? Would you give them restlessness when you have something more or different for them? Would they hear your voice? And specifically, God, for those students who are transitioning into the next phase of adulthood, would you, by your Spirit, lead them? Would you encourage them? Would you give them community wherever they go next, whether that's staying here or back home or to somewhere completely new? Would you surround them with a new God family to point them towards you, to encourage them, and places for them to live out who you created them to be in a God family? God, we are just so grateful for college students and young adults, and we ask that you would continue to bring us more and that they would grow and learn and be a part of our God family here in holy ways. We love you and we need you. Amen. Thank you.
I'm going to invite the kids to head out to their classes. K through 4th can come find their leaders up here on the front corner. 5th through 8th can go out the back. And I'd like to invite the rest of you to stand up. We're just going to remember the goodness of God.
Yeah. Let's stay standing for the reading of the Gospel of John this morning. John 1, 35 to 42. Listen to this. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said, "Come, and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is, when translated, is Peter. This is the word of God. You can have a seat. Well, good morning. I'm Jono. I'm one of the pastors, if I haven't met you yet. And I just have a little mini message today. And we have some stories of people getting baptized this morning. We're going to celebrate that. And we are starting just a brand new series for the next few weeks. We have some great speakers coming up and some great texts we're going to look at. And it's titled Rockstar. Maybe some of you have had a Rockstar before, drink. I don't know if you have. But long before this guy right here, there was someone else that was called The Rock. And his name was Simon. And Jesus gave him the name we see in this passage, Cephas, which means the rock. And Peter is a translated version of that Aramaic word, Cephas, and that's where we get the word Peter. So Simon, Peter, was also the kind of the star of the disciples. He's mentioned more than any other disciple in the Gospels. Whenever the disciples are mentioned in the Gospels, he is always first. In fact, Matthew even says, when he talks about the disciples, he says, first, this word phonos, Peter. And it means chief or leader. So Peter was the chief, the leader of the disciples. And we have a lot to learn from how he followed Jesus, how he learned from Jesus, how he responded and listened to the words of Jesus. His original name was Simon, as you may have heard in the story there. And so maybe it's confusing. Sometimes it's Simon, sometimes it's Peter, sometimes it's Simon Peter, but Simon was his given name. It's a common Hebrew name, and it would have been pronounced Shimon. Everyone say that with me. Shimon. Nice, Chaz. Thank you. Now, does that sound like an important Hebrew word? Anybody? Anyone? Anyone? Shalom. That's close. Anyone know that one? Shema. Yes. Shema. Very important Hebrew word, Shema, which means to hear and to respond. To hear and to respond. It's interesting because Hebrew names are very significant in the Bible. And so Simon's name means it would have just brought them to this word. The root word of his name is Shema, to hear and to respond. And we see Simon Peter is a person who listens and responds to Jesus. It's the foundation of the church. Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church." And I just love that his name has this double meaning. It's to hear and respond, and it's the foundation. That is the foundation of following Jesus, is listening and responding. And so We're going to hear some stories today of people who have listened to God's word, God's voice, and have responded and want to respond even more. Have you ever had an invitation that changed your life? You ever been invited to something that changed your life? Invitations are powerful, aren't they? I know 22 years ago when John and the leadership team invited Aaron and I to come to Santa Barbara, it was a life-changing invitation. And maybe you've had an invitation. Maybe it was as simple as someone just inviting you to lunch when you were lonely. Or maybe it was an invitation to do something you'd never considered doing, like a new job or going to church or going to a Bible study or something, or a new school. Maybe it was an invitation that led you to Jesus, that led you to find Jesus. And in John 1 here, we witness one of the most significant invitations in all of Scripture, don't we? We see this life-changing invitation. Here's what's happening. John the Baptist has been preaching. He has disciples that are following him, and they're walking on the road, and John says, that guy right there, that's the Lamb of God. And Andrew and another disciple who were following John were like, well, let's go follow the Lamb of God then. We're going to go follow Jesus. And so they start following Jesus, and it's kind of a funny little back and forth. Jesus turns around and says, what are you guys doing? What are you seeking? And they say, where are you staying? It's kind of a funny little back and forth. And in the first century, where are you staying really meant, we want to follow you. We want to learn from you. We want to be your disciples, Rabbi. And so Jesus says two words to them. Come, three words maybe. Come and see. Come and see. A simple invitation that changed the trajectory of their life. In this noisy, crazy, fearful world, sometimes an invitation, a simple, personal, sincere invitation can change someone's life. Every person that has come to know Jesus has been invited by somebody to come and see. Everyone in this place here has been invited by somebody to come and see. That is why you're here. That's why I'm here. Come and see. Come and see what God's doing. Listening to these stories, how encouraging, what God is up to in this place. Come and see. I want to just ask you a couple questions before we bring the baptism, the people being baptized up. And one is, who is your Andrew? Who is your Andrew? Such a simple invitation, a brother bringing a brother to Jesus. Don't you love that verse 41 right there? The first thing Andrew did was he went to his brother and said, we found the Messiah. The first thing. And then what does he do? He brings him to Jesus. Like, what passion, how awesome is that that he did that? Who is your Andrew? Who said that to you? Who said, come and see? For me, it was my parents. They helped me come and see who Jesus was and is. And along the way, I had lots of friends and mentors and other people who kept inviting me, come and see, come and grow, come and learn. Who is your Andrew? Maybe you just want to thank God for them today. Be grateful. Maybe send them a text. Say, thank you for inviting me. Second question, who is your Shimon? Who is your Simon? Who has God placed in your life that he maybe wants you to invite in? Maybe a simple invitation again. Doesn't have to be complicated. When they were invited to follow Jesus, they didn't have 10 questions for Jesus. They just started walking with him. It was simple. Maybe it's just a simple invitation for someone that, can I take you to lunch? How can I pray for you? You want to come to church with me? You want to come to a small group with me? Let's have dinner. Small words can have an eternal impact. Small words, come and see. What if your invitation could be the turning point for somebody else's life? You know, you are plan A in God's kingdom to invite people into this family. It's you. It's me. How are we doing that? Who is our Simon? Who has God put into our lives? A coworker, a family member, a neighbor. God has placed you specifically in your specific place in this time, in this world, and only you know the people that you know. He wants to use you. He wants to use you as an inviter. Who is your Simon? Don't we want to be a church that, like Kepler and Miles, we invite people into this family to experience the love and the hope and the peace and the grace of Jesus? And so that's who we're gonna invite up, some people who were invited here and invited into this family and invited to follow Jesus. I'm gonna have the people being baptized come on up with me, and I'm gonna have you share a bit of your story, just a minute or two. This is an important day for our church to recognize these friends who wanna follow Jesus, right? Who wanna be part of this family, who wanna grow together with us. And I want to remind us, because we don't often teach about baptism, but I want to just remind us, as you guys are come on up here in the middle, there we go. Baptism is a response. It's a response of listening to God's voice, and he says, repent and be baptized, Jesus said. And so it's a response to his grace in our lives, that we've experienced new life in Jesus. And so we get baptized. When we experience new life, we have this outward, it's an outward sign of an inward reality. We are saying, by dunking them down in the water today, we're gonna bring them back up. We're gonna say outwardly, you know, this is a symbol of what's going on inside of you, that you wanna be dead to your old life and you wanna be raised up in Christ and experience the fullness of life with Jesus. So that's what it is, an outward sign, and it's also a sacrament. We call it a sacrament. It's not a word we use around here. It's kind of a religious word. We don't use it that much, but sacrament comes from the word sacred, and in the scriptures, the word is kavod. It means heavy. This is a weighty moment, and we truly believe that God's presence is here in a special way as we celebrate the baptism of these friends. And so they're going to tell us, today they're going to introduce themselves and tell us why do you want to be baptized? And Aiden, Warren, we're going to start with you. All right.
Yeah. Hello.
There you go.
There we go. For the people that don't know me, my name's Aiden, and I wrote something real quick that I want to share with everyone here. Never fall back on something, but to fall forward. This quote has always stuck with me. It reminds me that even when life gets hard, God calls to us, fall forward into him, not fall back into fear. I grew up about Christianity, but for a long time, I didn't know what it meant for me. I started to change when a friend invited me to Ocean Hills. I didn't know what to expect. Honestly, I wasn't even sure if I was to be belonged, but I felt a spark, like maybe God had something waiting for me here. Before I stepped out of my car for a guys group, I prayed, Lord, if you're calling me, light that spark. A moment I got out of that car, I was welcomed with open arms. I found a real community, real love, and a real family. That's why I'm getting baptized today, to declare that I belong to Jesus, and I have found my home in him and in this church. Thank you, Ocean Hills, for showing me what it means to fall forward in faith. You've truly changed my life. Oh, thank
awesome.
You so much.
Thank you.
Well done, Bill. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lauren. I also wrote a little something. So I grew up in a non-denominational family, and I had relatively no clue who or what or why God was. My mom was very sick, bedridden for most of my formative years, and my dad was gone traveling the majority of the time for work, so they hired a nanny. Ashley was really cool. She helped us with math homework, painted with us, and she dressed up as a princess for my birthday every year. When I was 7, I was put into Catholic school, and I'll never forget how uncomfortable those wooden pews were or how my knees would have indents from the kneeling pads after Friday Mass. It was strange, and I never knew how I felt about God, so I just didn't. I transferred to public middle and high school, where I struggled with abuse, depression, and anxiety. I went off to college and spent 2 years in Oregon. I followed my addictions and reached what I believed to be rock bottom, so I made the decision to move back to California, but somewhere new. And I knew I didn't want to, but I had to start over, so I chose Santa Barbara. Starting over, again, was hard, and I felt really alone through a lot of it. And a few months later, I met my now boyfriend, Aiden. He asked me if I wanted to go to church with him, and I was very hesitant, but I agreed, and I loved it. A few weeks later, Aiden and I were headed up north to visit my family for what I believed to be a boyfriend meets the whole family trip. When we arrived, my sister told me that she was getting baptized and that she wanted me to come. I couldn't believe that her and I were starting a relationship with Jesus at the same time in a parallel way. It was an ocean baptism, and when we arrived, I saw Ashley. She was baptizing my sister. This moment was so full circle for me and one that I couldn't believe to be coincidental. Ashley had revealed that for years she had prayed for my sisters and I to find love and happiness in Jesus Christ. My journey finding my faith and solace in Jesus has been life-altering in the best way possible. Jesus has changed the way I view life and treat people as well as the way I view myself. It's not always easy, as God reveals things that are hard and painful, but I know that I'm ready to devote myself as a follower of Christ, and I couldn't be more grateful to finally be here.
Yeah. Woo. Thank you, Lauren. Hi, Nicholas.
My name is Nick Macias. I grew up in I'm a little nervous.
It's all good.
I grew up in a Catholic household. I always felt a little disconnected from it. It didn't very seem like carrot and stick minus the carrot and type of environment. And I just didn't really feel relatable with it. And over the years, I've struggled with health issues, my own personal issues with seeing loved ones pass away, friends. Sorry, I've never really opened up in a large group of people like this, so this is
it takes
this
a lot
is
of
different.
Courage. You're doing great.
Ultimately, I went through life thinking that sheer will and perseverance were all I needed to get through. And I would stumble time and time after again. But that all culminated when I got into a severe accident about 2 years ago, and I shattered my femur. Bedridden for a couple weeks, and my soon-to-be fiance asked if I wanted her mom to pray for me, and I accepted it. And when she began, all I just started crying, like even right now my voice is shaky just thinking about it. It reminded me of my grandmother. She was the only one who really prayed for me like that. And ultimately, that was my decision. Like, I need Jesus in my life. I can't do this. I can't do this by myself. It's too much. It's too heavy of a burden. So that's what started my journey. And then we're just where I'm at with my life right now. just a new stage and things changing. I think I'm just, I see this as a way for me to start new, to surrender myself to Jesus and to let him carry the burden and follow his steps.
Yeah. All right, Gabe. Gabe Staffolino. We love you, buddy.
My name is Gabriel. I'm 8 years old. I like spending time.
Oh, you're okay. You got this. I'm coming over here. It's all right, buddy. I got you. No, you're okay. You're doing great. You want to wait? You're doing great. It's scary up here, yeah.
Here, how about these guys?
Yeah, we'll let these guys go. Jackson, and then you can come on over here at the end. You need some support too, but. That's right.
Yep, gotta pull up real quick.
Hey guys, so my name's Jackson. I'm from Orange County, but I'm a sophomore here Westmont College in Santa Barbara. I grew up in a Christian household, occasionally going to church. I went to a Catholic high school. But it never really felt personal to me ever. It just, faith always felt like something that I just had to do, or just, it was just kind of just part of my life. Like I knew about Jesus, but I didn't really know about Jesus. When I came to college, things began to shift. I didn't know what to expect, but I had family and friends around me telling me, you know, you find what you're passionate about in college, you find your purpose, you find meaning in life. While all that has been true, the biggest surprise was that college began the time when God really started working in my life in a deep and personal way. It happened through so many different ways and different things. Bible studies with teammates and various other groups, FCA huddles, one-on-one talks with mentors, actually taking the time to have deep and meaningful prayer time, Sunday services, and even just picking up my Bible for the very first time. God kept drawing me closer, one step at a time. And so there wasn't really one big moment where everything changed for me. It's been a process of God just slowly pulling me in. However, I do remember one day though, and it was actually my first time visiting Ocean Hills. I remember my senior captain at the time, Donnie Howitt, and I, we decided to go to Ocean Hills and gave it a try. And to be honest, I don't remember much about what the sermon or what the service was about, but I only have a couple minutes up here, but I can go on for hours talking about how I felt that day and how God really started to feel or started to come alive in my life. I felt God's love in such a real and overwhelming way. It was emotional. And it's reminded me that God has been with me through everything, through childhood struggles, past injuries, my grandma's passing my freshman year, and even just leading me to Westmont. And so during New Year's at the family table, with God just moving so much in my life, I told my family that, you know what, 2025 would be the year I got baptized. And then during an Ash Wednesday chapel service at Westmont, Pastor Scott talked about Lent. talked about Lent and surrender your life to Jesus. And he asked the question, what better thing to give up in this season than your old life and your new and giving it for, or and going into your new life with Christ? Sorry.
Yeah, good.
And I felt like that message really just hit for me, and he was speaking towards me. So now I've made the decision to follow Jesus fully and to get baptized as a public declaration of that choice. And I know life won't always be easy. I see that I'm young, but I know after college and when I get older, life's gonna hit with real challenges. Seasons of hardship, uncertainty, and pain. But I know now that the difference now is that I know where my identity really lies. My identity is rooted in Christ, and I can see that now. And the reason I can see God moving in my life so more clearly than ever is because he's been so present to shape and sharpen me during this period of my life. That's why I wanted to be baptized now, because when life comes at me full force, I won't back down. I'll stand firm, not in my own strength, but with full faith in Jesus, because I know he is with me. And if he is for me, who can be against me? So if there's one thing you got in my testimony, is that we all live on God's timing. He doesn't forget us, and he chooses the right moment and time to move in our lives. Thank you.
Amen. Come on. Well done. Thank you.
Hi there. If you guys knew me in college, this is a photo that I actually submitted because I was so scared to send the real one that I wanted to send. So if you don't know me, my name is Damien. I am an aspiring bodybuilder. I live fully for fitness and spending my time in the gym. And the photo that actually made everything come full circle, there's a photo I have of me where I have the biggest smile when one of my friends took a photo of me, and I can just like see the joy that is finally visible in my life because of the way that God has worked in my heart. I had this really long bullet-pointed list that I was actually going to use, and when the worship service was actually happening, I had this moment on my right thigh. I have Isaiah 43:1-2 tattooed on my leg. 7 years ago, I gave my life to Christ, and in those 7 years, I actually fell further away from Christ than I ever thought that I would. Ironically, I went to Westmont, and Westmont was an amazing experience for me. I learned a lot about who I was, the man that I wanted to be, and also, more importantly, the man that I didn't want to be. If you knew me in college, I was pretty prideful, I was very arrogant, and I operated under a white-knuckle grip. I thought that I could sheer will my way through everything in life, and I realized 4 months ago that that is just not the case. There are three things that I actually had written in my new plan of speech after re-seeing Isaiah 43:1-2 re-come back into my life, and it was fight, trust, and come. One is fight for me, and when you can no longer fight for me, know that I will fight on your behalf and that I will win your battle and it will still be your victory. I talked to the worship leader last Easter actually about how pivotal coming to Ocean Hills has been in being able to take part of worship in a way that has connected me back to God that I never really would have experienced. Because music is poetry, and that is just an emotional expression of who we are. And there's so many beautiful songs that talks about God fulfilling his promise to his people, and that is one of them. One of them is, he fights my battles, and he goes, and he wins, and declares that victory ours. And the funny thing is, I always thought that I was the one winning. And I did none of it. I could never do it. The second one is trust. I have always had such a white-knuckle grip on my life. I actually went to Westmont. I was a kines major. I had a really good opportunity to learn amazing things. But I thought my life was going to turn out differently because I thought I knew what was going on. And I broke my legs my senior year. I ran collegiately. And I broke my leg, and God used that to completely transform my life in a way that I never would have imagined. hence the trust. The second part, the third one, which Jonah was just talking about, is come and see. When you grow up in the faith, I didn't even grow up, I found my faith on my own. But this phrase is referenced so many times, come and see. Mainly the one thing that for me is come all who are weary and heavy burdened and I will give you rest. I am a chronic workaholic. I am 23, and I swear I have the busiest schedule known to mankind. And part of trusting and coming and see that I get rest as well is leaving old jobs and being willing to trust where God is taking me going forward. But truthfully, the biggest thing of that is getting out of the fact that I think I know my own life and my plan is better for me than somebody who created me. And so part of the baptism is a recircling back to a promise that I gave God 7 years ago, that I would live my life fully and devoutly for him, and that I would be willing to go and see exactly where he's called me and just respond. And then also to recognize that the way that God has moved in my life, and more importantly, my heart in these past 6 years of my life, is nothing short of a miracle. It is a lot longer than 2 minutes is to talk and say everything that he's done and the way that he's worked. But my baptism is my formal recognition that I'm dying to my old life and to who I was in the past, and ready to walk into a life full of hardship, knowing that there's nobody more that I would love to serve in that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Gab. Appreciate that. Gabe, do you want me to come down here? You want to do it down here? You want to read it up here? Here, I'll hold it for you. Yeah, I'll hold it. You got this.
My name is Gabriel. I am 8 years old. I like spending time with my siblings. When I was a little boy, I didn't understand Jesus. My heart was hard, but the Holy Spirit came in my heart. I understood, and my heart softened too. My mom and dad taught me about Jesus. It felt like the Holy Spirit spoke when I was in bed one night about baptism. Then I wasn't scared anymore. He washed our sins for us. He cared and loved us because he died on the cross for our sins. Now I'm happy that I chose to follow him, because I'm walking in freedom from shame and guilt, and I love sharing Jesus by helping others. Jesus said, "I have come to give life and life to the full. I have found this and hope you do too." Ezekiel 36:26, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you, and you will remove the heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh."
Aw, Gabriel, so sweet. Come on over here. I'm going to say a prayer and have the band come up. We're not quite done, and I'm not going to say God is good in here, because what we're going to do right now is we're all going to get up, and we're going to go to the patio and celebrate these baptisms. So we need you to come around the baptism trough out there, and we are going to have your kids actually on the patio, so you don't have to pick up your kids in class. They're out there on the patio. And let me say a prayer, and then we're going to get up and move together, okay? God, thank you for these incredible stories. Thank you for these men and women and children, and just for how you are moving in so many different ways and so many powerful ways, through hardship, through friends, through family, through nannies, through all of it, God. Your spirit is at work at all times. And so we bless these friends as they get baptized. May they hear your voice, that you are proud of them, that you love them, that you are pleased with them, and that you want to impart your Holy Spirit to them to live the full life that you have designed them to live. So we praise you. We give you all the glory, Jesus. And we pray this in your name. And everybody said, amen. All right, let's get up and give him a hand for Sharon up here. Let's go watch him get baptized out on the patio. Come on out. Good job.